Well, here in Bridport Town Hall, there is the most fabulous display of hats and everything you could want to make a hat with. And standing with me is Dorothy Morant, who is wearing a very pretty, that you don't call that a fascinator, do you, Dorothy? That's
no.
A bow.
No, it's a sort of 50s headband, like a small turban.
And is that a 50s frock you're wearing?
It is, yes.
White polka dots on a blue background?
Yes, an original 50s dress, yes.
Now, this your stand, you seem to have mostly fascinators. Is that your preference as a milliner?
Not really. It's just I brought these today because I thought they might be quite fun and go with the feeling of the hat festival. But I make felt and straw hats as well. I make all the flowers myself and dye the feathers and hand make everything. Everything's hand sewn.
You obviously enjoy this, I can tell.
I love it, yes. Yes, I started out as a jeweller, but I did a weekend's course hat making, and that was it. I don't make the jewellery anymore, I make the hats.
You mean just a weekend, and
yes.
That did it for you?
Yes, absolutely. It's just the most fascinating thing to do, and you can deal with such beautiful materials and colours, and it's just lovely. I love doing it.
And so you have your own business now then, do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I work from home in Launceston. I still make a bit of jewellery, mostly for commission. So I've got my jewellery workshop, and then next door I've got my millinery workshop. So it works really well.
So you've come all the way from Cornwall today?
Yes. We got up at 4 o'clock this morning. And my sister's over from Canada, and she came with us, and we were in the van, and we had a big brown spaniel lying on our laps all the way here. And
pretending to be a hat?
Yes, a sort of comforter-type hat, yes.
But you say that you were telling me that your dog has just won best hat. Tell me about
the
hat.
She has. Well, it's a little what would you call a percher.
You've got it around the front. Why don't you show it to me? Here.
It's a little...
Foster, as you can see, is not wearing a hat today. He declined.
Do you think
he'd look good? Oh, it's got toadstools on it.
It's got toadstools, a little deer, and some lichen, and it's on a green silk base. And the dog that wore it is a little orange Shiba Inu. So it looked lovely, perched on her sort of... She's like a small husky. And so it's perched in this deep fur, and it looks lovely. And then my other dog, who's a spaniel,
wore... Oh, so you have two dog hats.
Yes, wore this green turban.
It looks wonderful. It looks like the kind of thing that a Maharaja's dog would have worn.
Yes. Well, I didn't have enough time, but I really wanted to make him a little sort of outfit to go with it. But I didn't have the time. Maybe a beautiful jewelled collar and a little waistcoat. But, yes, it's got a lovely peacock feather on it as well. So
it's beautiful. Tell me, Dorothy, people don't wear hats very much anymore,
no,
do they?
No.
More's the pity, I think.
Yes. Well, I'm always trying to get people to wear hats. And people come and say, oh, I can't wear a hat. And they put one on, and that's it. They're trying everything on. Yes, of course. And that's it. They're just trying on every hat and hopefully usually leave with one. So, and I love to, after spending ages making them, I love seeing people wearing them and walking off and really
happy. You say, oh, that's my hat. I made that.
Yes, yeah. It's very nice. Last weekend I had an open house at my house in Launceston and had people coming and had a sort of salon kind of affair and gave people a glass of wine and they tried on hats and it was lovely. It was really, really good fun, yeah.
So business is okay, is it?
Yes, it is. It's very slow because everything is handmade, everything's hand-stitched, and so I don't make a lot of hats, and it's usually sort of people come to me. I don't sell through shops or anything because it's too expensive once retail price goes on it. So it's usually sort of bespoke, and people... Oh,
sorry, Foster just making friends with somebody wearing a fortress on his head.
With loads of Barbies going around.
with loads of Barbie dolls. I'm not quite sure that's truly medieval, though, Barbie dolls around a fortress, however.
It's brilliant. It looks brilliant.
So do you think Foster might perhaps try the mushroom hat on?
The mushroom hat?
Foster Maharaja's hat might be a wee bit big for him.
What's that, darling? There.
almost fetching.
Yeah,
most
I think fetching. That is fantastic. With those eyebrows, that mono eyebrow, it looks fantastic. Oh, Foster, you just look the business. Yes, he's a prize winner.
Well, Dorothy, thank you so much indeed. No, the hat is...
Oh, it shows it's well made, doesn't it?
It does show it's well made. It's still sitting on his furry head.
Oh, okay. Foster, you adorable boy. There.
Now, next to Dorothy's stall is Felix Jaffe's, and you are selling nothing but feathers, is that it, Felix?
Well, we're selling everything for the millinery trade, for the hat industry, for the theatres. We sell to bespoke designers all around the world, and we have a plethora of different types of feathers here for the hat industry and for wedding dresses, and we even make feather pens and in beautiful different colours, all dyed in the UK.
Felix, you say we make them. Does that mean you personally?
I personally make many of them, and our staff make a lot of the others. So it's a small family business. They employ 10 people, and my brother and his wife also work within the business. And it's very hands-on. You have to fill in when people aren't there, and we're able to do all the different aspects of the business.
Whereabouts are you based, Felix?
We're based the... The feather factory is based in Somerset, and so we've just come a short hop over to Dorset to come and sell our wares here.
And do you say you sell internationally?
Yeah, we sell to all different countries, including Sweden, Austria, Australia, America. So the retail site is basically online.
I'm just wondering, Felix, where you get the feathers from?
We buy them throughout the world, but we also try and source a number of the feathers from the UK. So we actually still purchase pheasant feathers from... I think their origins is shoots, so they're a byproduct of that industry, and also we get turkey feathers from turkey farms. So we.
Well, now between us here are the most exquisite purple, mauve. What colour would you call that? Ostrich feathers.
Yeah, they're beautiful purple ostrich feathers, and they're actually a product we sell. It's a centerpiece, ostrich feather centerpiece. It's all seen online, and we sell them to a number of hotels and special events such as weddings, and we can dye them in any different colour you want.
Felix, there can't be too many operations like yours.
No, one of the last in the country, and as we do everything in-house, we'd say we're probably the unique. So a lot of other companies out there who buy from China direct and have limited stocks of items, we can supply a wide variety of things. We buy the raw materials in, and we dye it in-house and manufacture it in-house.
So yours is a genuine British product?
I believe so, yes. So,
thank you very much, Felix Jaffe.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you very
much.
Have
fun.
Cheers. Have a good day. Cheers.
I'm Claire Hadley.
And Claire, you are part of the International Felt Makers Association.
That's right. We're called the Region 2 Group, and we all come from Dorset, Hampshire, and the Isle of Wight. Although we do have a couple of incomers from Surrey here today.
Well, that makes you international, does it?
Well, there's other regions which cover areas all around the world.
So you are in fact then international, because
we are an international group. Yes, we have members in the States, in Australia, in Europe.
America,
I mean, we are largely UK based, but we do have members everywhere.
Okay, so these are hats made of felt. Now, from the extraordinary shapes, and there really are some extraordinary shapes, can you do pretty much anything you like with felt?
It's the most amazingly versatile medium. You can have it very sculptural, you can have it very soft, and depending on what type of wool it is as well, makes a huge difference to how it will react and respond. And you can see some incredibly sculptural hats on the stall here, but also, like the one I'm wearing, very much softer beanie style hat.
Very nice indeed. Now you're wearing a tricorn,
which I made myself from merino wool. It has 14 layers of merino wool fibre, rolled very, very hard, so it's a very firm felt, and shaped on a hat block afterwards. I also made the little ribbon cockade on the side, which is a pleated ribbon
Very smart. You look very, I shouldn't say Napoleonic,
well,
I should say Wellington, shouldn't I?
Yes, a bit Wellington, yes. But I'm very pleased with it. It's my most one of my most recent hats. And but I make all sorts of other styles as well. But this was, I wanted to make a historic hat in the traditional historical style. So.
And that's a much more dense felt.
It's a much thicker felt because this has got 14 layers. Normally we do 2, 3, or 4 layers. The layers are depending on what thickness you want to do, but also what fibre you use. So this is merino wool fibre, but we use all sorts of different wools as well, depending on what shapes we want to make them and also how thick we want the felt to be.
Keep your head nice and warm in the winter.
Very warm. And waterproof, because they don't shrink in the rain.
They don't shrink. That so?
They don't shrink in the rain. Sheep don't shrink in the rain, so why should the hats?
No, that's true.
We create the felt for each individual hat and then shape it on hat blocks and using resists to get the shape that you want.
So, which, apart from your splendid three-cornered hat, which else did you make?
This one of mine, which is
lime green with a wonderful
with a brim.
A blue sort of almost aquamarine brim.
Yeah. And that was using a Gotland and merino wool because I wanted it to shape.
Gotland is
a Danish, a Swedish breed of sheep, but it allows you to shape the wool better, the hat better. This is actually a merino one I've made, merino wool, which is more like a cloche style hat.
Lovely.
And
fuchsia pink
here
and
is actually
mauve.
From a silk scarf. This is silk felted into it.
Right.
And this is mohair locks, which have been dyed from Angora sheep. So this is a combination of all different fibres in that one.
And what sort of price tag goes on that?
They vary from about £40 upwards, more or less. This one's 45, but we have cheaper ones, we have more expensive ones. We really price them depending on the amount of time and work that goes into making them, basically.
Well, outside here in South Street, which is where it's all happening today at the Bridport Hat Festival, is Brian Atkinson, who is one of the organisers of the Bridport Hat Fair or Festival. Which do you prefer to call it?
Festival.
How long has this been running for, Brian?
This is the 7th year. Yeah, we're having a lovely day. The people have turned out. The hats are fantastic. And we're just crossing our fingers that it's not going to pour down and...
No, of course it's not going to, Brian. No. Were you in at the start, so to speak?
No, I wasn't.
7 years ago?
No, I wasn't. It was started principally... I mean, there's a lot of folklore about this, but Roger Snook, who owns the hat shop, is definitely implicated. I can't really say more than that. I think it probably happened in a bar or a public house, possibly, and alcohol may have influenced things. So that's all I know.
Surely not.
It is Bridport.
Where there are an awful lot of pubs.
Yeah, and I think there may have been a wager involved as well. But as I say, I wasn't there at the time, so I can't really...
I imagine, Brian, this must have started in a relatively modest way and has simply grown each year, has it?
It has. The word has gone around the country and around the world. We say it was the first in this country, although Winchester might say that we had the hat fair, which is not the same. We were the first hat festival. Now there are several. I think there's one in Malvern. I think Faversham or Canterbury have one. We've had inquiries about one in Jersey. There's now one in the States. There's one in Kenya. There's one in the Far East. And they're all, you know...
You mean everybody is copying Bridport, is that it?
Well, that's true, but of course it's our website. You know, once you put things on a website, it goes global, doesn't it? And people find it's a great thing to do. You can't really explain it. It just works.
It's a lovely idea. Now, I have seen some perfectly extraordinary hats here, very imaginative, very inventive hats.
People's imagination is quite amazing, and to actually be able to put them into hat form is I couldn't do it, but I take my hat off to those who can.
You are wearing a hat, of course. Yours looks a bit more like a bush hat, a sort of canvas
thing.
Well,
I'm afraid this is a rather bog-standard tilly, which is, the indestructible hat. And I don't be seen out without a hat, of course. I mean, I'd be collared right away. So, and I can put my hand on my heart and say I do wear a hat normally. It's not just for the festival. And I recommend it. It keeps the sun off. You know, we all know that you don't want sun beating on what is, in my case, rather a thin...
Follicly challenge, as they say.
When it's a bit rainy like this, it keeps the rain off. It keeps most of the heat in the body. I mean, how can you not wear a hat?
Brian, it would be rather nice to see hats make a comeback, wouldn't it?
Well, I think they are. I mean, that if you look at a picture of, say, a football match in the 50s, all the gentlemen and all the ladies wore hats. And then through the 70s, they all seemed to stop wearing hats. They're making a comeback. OK, it might be baseball caps, but it's still a hat. And I think as more...
But perhaps not quite like the licorice all sorts. Just walk past us at the moment.
No.
And a couple of red squirrels.
That's right. But we're doing our bit, you see. We're spreading the word. Get a hat, you know. It's the one article of clothing I think you can just put it on and it projects your personality and it actually amplifies it. It says a lot about you. Now, a lady might say, oh, well, you start with the shoes. No, it's the hat, surely. Do you not agree? Well, you're wearing a very nice outfit, which is... Now, I'm not a milliner. I'm not a hatter or a milliner, but I know a nice hat when I see it. It's charming.
Thank you. This one was made in Lyme Regis about 16, 17 years ago.
And you look very much in keeping. I mean, it's how you should look on a day like today. But as I say, mine is a little bit more dowdy, but it's still a hat. As I say, I don't go out without a hat because of what I do. You know, being the chairman of the hat committee, I suppose it goes with the job. It's badge of office.
Now, I'm out here in Buckidoo Square, at the top of South Street, and I have just come across a sweet shop on somebody's head.
Hello.
Can you eat all those sweets
once
a day, sir?
Yes, we can't wait.
So where did you get the inspiration for your sweet shop hat?
I love sweets, and I would love to be a child, really. So it was my excuse.
And yes, and you will be able to eat them all. They're all fresh, I assume.
Yes, yes, they're fresh.
And what have you got underneath them? A pink felt hat?
No, yes, just ordinary, yes, yeah.
Which you wear normally or
yes,
not?
Yes, well, normally fancy dress for cowgirl sort of thing.
I was going to say, a cowboy wearing a pink hat would be a cowgirl, yes.
Actually, it's originally bought for my other half, actually, which is a bit sad. Somebody bought it for him.
And did he dare wear it?
No.
And standing next to you is a buttons. What are you, buttons and bows?
Bows, yeah. The idea come from, I had an old straw hat, and I thought, well, I don't want to spend too much money, so it cost me £2.50, and all the bows came off of wrappings from horses we've had.
It's very pretty. I mean, you could, aside from the festival, you could wear that to a wedding, couldn't you? It would be very different.
I don't think so.
And there seems to be a forest standing next to you. Yes, right. That looks distinctly spiky. You've got some holly in there, haven't you?
It's autumn. I call it autumn. Inspired by the 1st of September, the start of autumn, and it's a hedgerow, basically.
So tell me what you've got in there, in your hat.
I've got thorn, blackberries, beech, elderberry, thistle. And it's very prickly.
I was going to say, you're holding your head very steady, aren't you?
Well, the thorns do keep it on, but they're sticking in a little bit at the moment.
And how have you actually attached it to your head?
I wove it into a hat, and it sits on your head. You can take it off and put it back on, and it's sort of held together with bits of hedgerow.
take it off and put it on wearing gloves, I assume.
Well, I did cut a few thorns off, but I expect, gloves would be safer.
And your hat will definitely not keep now, will it?
Pardon?
Your hat will not keep, will it?
No, it will fade, like most of us.
We're still waiting for various categories to be judged, but standing with me now is someone who is in the running for Best Ladies Hat. Describe your hat to me. It is extraordinary.
Well, my hat is actually based on a design, a Transylvanian design. I saw it in a museum. It was originally designed as an advertisement for a hat shop. And I fell in love with it and said, I'm going to make one exactly the same for the Bridport Hat Festival.
So you have a basic, looks like a sort of a variation on a Stetson, which is the support for a multitude of small hats.
Small hats, exactly. All of which I've painted and designed in different ways. So It's a hat made of hats.
Did you make all those little hats yourself?
I didn't. I decorated them. I didn't actually make them, but I did decorate them all, yes.
Well, where did you manage to get so many tiny little hats that would... For a doll's head, I assume.
Well, a friend of mine sourced them for me in an odd little shop in St. Neots in Cambridgeshire, believe it or not, where they were selling them off, trying to get rid of them. So she said, you won't believe what I found. I found all these wonderful little hats that you can use for your hat design. And the rest came from the internet.
Well, good luck. I hope you win the prize.
Well, thank you very much. It's very kind of you.
Oh, I think he's getting used to this now. I think
there
he's getting
used to it. Is that in focus?
Yes, it looks. So I think Foster for more.
My hat was made by somebody who used to be in Lyme Regis called Pops Goes the Weasel.
Oh, really?
He's not there anymore. Oh. I've added all of them.
Yeah, oh, it's lovely.
You can probably tell.
It's so super. Everybody sort of made such an effort.